No offence. So, back to the bear hunt. The thing about the bear hunt is that everybody was together. We were going on a journey. It had a purpose. We're going to find a bear. We were together. But we came across some unavoidable obstacles. Now, as we go through life, as we start off of this year, we're going to go through. We know we're going towards God. We're going, getting older. We're doing. We all have our own little goals for this year. But, and we also can guarantee that we're going to come across some unavoidable obstacles. Some of us can see them on the horizon, like the forest. Some of them are going to come and they won't be expected, like maybe the grass or the river. But we know they're going to come and we're going to face them together. Together with our family here, together with our friends and family at home, and together with Jesus, because he said that he will never leave us or forsake us. So we know that he is always with us, and he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us always, to help us, to give us guidance and counsel when we need it. So, in the Bible, there are lots of journeys. So can anybody give me an example of a journey that Jesus went on? That's right, Darren. He was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to get to know Jesus. He did. And any other journeys that Jesus went on? Shall I give you a couple of... Yes, Karen. Pardon? No, but he crossed the Sea of Galilee to get away from people. When he wanted to be by himself, so he did cross the sea. Donna. Yeah, he rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. Now, can I have some examples of journeys in the New Testament which weren't Jesus? Seth, you're for. Yes, Paul went on lots of journeys and got shipwrecked. On one of them. Anybody else gone on any journeys in the New Testament? Yes, Peter went to see Cornelius. Anyone, any others? There's another one with a donkey in it. Near the beginning. Yes, Phil.
Philip was transported.
Yes, that counts as a journey. He was on his way somewhere and he was sent somewhere else. Yeah. Mary and Joseph went on a donkey. And they had to. That was a journey that they didn't choose. They had to go on it. So that's like our journey. Sometimes we go places that we want to go, and sometimes we have to go because we're told we've got to go there. So now, guess what question I'm going to ask you about? The Old Testament. Anybody got a couple of ideas of journeys in the Old Testament? Darren? Samson? Yeah, he went... I think that's in Judges if you want to find it. Steve? Exodus when the Jews left Egypt. Karen, you had another one when you said Exodus when the Jews went through the Red Sea. That was the journey. Steph, you've got another example? That's right. Joseph and his brothers going to Egypt. Sylvia?
When Ruth went with Naomi.
That's right. Ruth went to Naomi.
She met
Boaz. Yeah. Ruth? Oh, Karen? Somebody here? Ruth? Abraham had a journey. That's right. So you can tell that the Bible is full of journeys. And you can know that each of them, Jesus was with them. Now, when I was praying, I started to think about what sort of Bible story would be appropriate, which journey to choose, because there's so many. And God told me, like, at the beginning of the year, quite often, people might start a new set of reading through the Bible in 1 year, or they might have a new study book that they're going to subscribe because they've given it for Christmas. So you all start off reading through the Bible. And I've got this, and you remind me, the first 5 books of the Bible, which are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, are all about a journey. Now, sorry, I keep stopping when I hear the bell. I apologise for that. I think I'm being interrupted. I've got a point to be made. Where was I? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Now, the thing about those 5 books, traditionally, Bible scholars can correct me, they were all written by Moses. And they must have been written whilst he was on a journey, because we know that he doesn't actually reach the end of his journey. And he can't have started it before he went on it, because it describes the journey. So they must have been written on the journey, and I'm pretty certain that there wasn't any method of writing it down. So all these things must have been learnt verbally, orally, sort of like teaching them by talking. And I looked at it a bit more, and it's the story of the Exodus, the leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land. What's Genesis about? Genesis is the beginning. Genesis, which is actually tells you how they got there in the first place. So it starts at the very beginning of creation, goes through lots of exciting stories, and ends up with them in Egypt. Exodus, largely, is how they left Egypt. And it was a bit of a struggle, and that tells you that. Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy are a bit more of the journey, and a lot about preparation for when they get there. There's laws about what you're going to do, how you're going to build, where you're going to plant, you know, don't make your clothes out of 2 different sorts of cloth. Which obviously they weren't doing on the journey, because their clothes never wore out. So they weren't making garments then. So it's all about what they're going to do when they get there. And as practice, they will have to build... they build the Ark of the Covenant, which tells how godless it... And it's where they're going to worship. So they have a tent of worship. And they all make... and they have some, and it's all preparation of how they're going to worship, what they're going to do when they get there. So they're all preparing. And they must all have learnt this orally. Now, I personally, and I'm maybe the only person who's ever found this, found that Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are a bit of an obstacle when it comes to reading the Bible. Because they're not the nice bits of poetry like Psalms that you can meditate on. They're not a good story. They're not a good but easy bit of teaching, like Proverbs and some of Paul's different things, which tell you you can apply what they're saying. But these, I mean, who nowadays needs to know about mildew laws? It doesn't come automatically as how I can apply that in my life. It's a bit of a bit difficult. And I was sort of thinking, and one bit in Numbers, number 7, if we can put that up now. Numbers 7, yeah. Starting at verse 11, a bit first of that. So this is Moses has set up the tabernacle. And it says, let one leader bring his gift each day for the dedication of the altar. And it goes on. Numbers 12. So the first day, Nashon, son of Aminadab, leader of the tribe of Judah, presents his offering. Next verse. And his offering consists of a silver platter wearing 3.25 pounds and a silver basin weighing, as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour moistened with olive oil. Next. He also brought a gold container weighing 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. Next. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year male lamb for a burnt offering. Next. And a male goat for a sin offering. Next. For a peace offering, he brought 2 bulls, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs This was the offering brought by Nashon, son of Amminadab. Next verse. On the second day, Nethanel, son of Zuar, leader of the tribe of Issachar, presented his offering. Now, I won't go through it just yet, but let me tell you that all 12 tribes brought exactly the same offering. Now, I tried to sort of meditate on this verse some years ago, and all I could come up with was that, if God found this a pleasing offering, he's had a different sense of smell to me, because I wouldn't have found the smell of all these animals being killed particularly pleasant. But God, and when I told Emma last week that I was going to talk about, share on this verse, she said, "It's not very inspiring, is it?" But shall I tell you what God told me about these verses? He said, "Well, think back to when you were at school and in the guides, and you had to you were learning things, and it was not running by rope, all the same. But maybe you did it all. There's certain songs. We did it in each verse was the same, but you had a different voice. So I'm guessing that maybe, just maybe, they had the same thing. And that they learned these 12 verses, 12 offerings, by the tribe of Judah, probably because they led worship, sang. So they had a little tune they sang when they remembered what the tribe of Issachar did, and the leader of the tribe of Issachar. And that when they went on, Issachar, maybe they had a different, slightly different accent, because it's such a large voice. I mean, we all know that if you come from a different area, you have a slightly different accent. So maybe the Issachar people, tribe of Issachar, was terribly. And so when they did the tribe of Issachar, we all spoke with a terribly accent. And maybe the next one, we're all farmers, so they all are. They gave their silver offering. They did. Maybe they were like that. Maybe they weren't. But that's how I thought. Well, I want to inspire you that next. I was going to get you all to say these things in the different voices, but I think I might spare you that, because it's going to be a bit... Unless you want to. Do you want to go through doing different voices? Practicing? No, I thought you didn't. No, that's fine. And you'll all be pleased to know that you'll be spared me having thought up a verse. But I just want to encourage you, when you go through the Bible, and you come across a difficult bit, just ask God how it might be an easier way, just to use your imagination, because they might not have learned that way. They might have learned it by rote. They might have felt pride because that was their tribe. And they might have known the other... Well, they would have known the other tribes a bit, but there were so many of them. I don't know how much they interacted. But that's just my thoughts on how, if you come to a difficult bit in the Bible, just press on through and review it again. Because God does talk to you through the Bible. And if you're going through hard things, that is a good place to find it. And that's, I think, is how I want to finish. Just to remind you all that we're on a journey. So maybe think about what your purpose is at this time, where you're aiming to go. You're not wandering around. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. So however you feel at the moment, God has a purpose and a plan, and he's not going to leave you where you are. And he's with you, and we're with you. So we're together. We're a family. And I wanted to finish as a family, breaking bread. Sonia and I thought it'd be really nice if everyone got together in their families. And if you weren't with a family, you joined up with another family, so that everybody comes and breaks bread as a family. And I've got bread that breaks down into little loaves, and then little loaves again, so we can all be breaking bread.